Why don't you take your Bibles, open them up to Proverbs chapter 30. Keep them open for a minute. I just want to make a couple comments before we read the scripture. Linda gave me some Sunday humor that I think she said her sister sent to her, and there was one story that caught my eye as I reviewed it this week about a pastor that had the unenviable job of going to his congregation and asking for more money. They had voted to repair the roof, and the bill came in about $4,000 more than he had originally stated, so he had to go back to the congregation and ask for a special offering. And he was not looking forward to it. And to make matters worse, the regular organist had called in, and he had to get a substitute to play the organ that day. And so he was in a hurry, and he was just talking to the substitute organist and says, "Now, at the end of the service, I got to make this appeal for more money." And the normal organist usually plays while we're collecting, you know, the special offering. So you just pick out a song, whatever you want to play, and that'll be fine. So he got through the message and got to the part where he was going to raise the money. And he says, "Folks, we got a problem. The roof costs more money than we thought. We need an extra $4,000. And he says, "If you'd be willing to give an extra $100 to help us retire that debt, I want you to stand." Whereupon the organist began to play the Star Spangled Banner. And they had a wonderful offering. And so the preacher was so impressed that he told the regular organist to stay gone and hired the substitute. All right. You know, last week I taught on the subject, Are we smarter than a donkey? And in my introduction, I mentioned that, you know, I'd never seen it. I had to have people tell me about this TV show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? And so I took off from that, and I entitled my lesson last week, "Are We Smarter Than a Donkey?" And you that were here remembered that I spoke from Numbers chapter 22. I used Balaam's donkey as our example, and I gave you four reasons why that little donkey was smart. If you recall, he was smart because he feared God, not being afraid, but he reverenced God, and because he knew God was God, and because he feared God, he obeyed God. He did what God wanted him to do, and as he obeyed, he was even willing to take a beating for those acts of obedience, as his master beat him, as he went off the path, as he crushed his foot against the wall, and finally as he fell down flat. And because he feared God, because he was obedient, and because he was willing to suffer the beatings, God let him do something that was very unusual for a donkey to do, to speak and to deliver God's message. And I made the application, as I ask each one of us, "Are we smarter than a donkey?" That we need to do the same thing. We need to fear God. We need to reverence God. We need to know that in every area, He is God. He's God. And we need to be obedient. We don't need to argue. When His will is revealed to us, we don't need to argue with Him. We don't need to reason with Him. We just need to say, "Yes, sir," and get about doing what He's told us to do. We sing that song, and there's a phrase in it that says, "Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe, to show that you believe God is God." And it is. Obedience is the very best way to do that. And I mentioned that, you know, as we're obedient to God, we got to be willing to pay the price. And, you know, we suffer ridicule at times, and there may be a time to come where we suffer physical persecution for serving Jesus, and we just need to be willing, and if we're smarter than a donkey, we'll be willing to do that. And as we do that, God will give us the privilege of delivering His message, the special privilege, the wonderful opportunity to be used of Him. And I mentioned as I closed last week, the more obedient that we are, the more opportunity God will give us to serve Him and to represent Him and to be used of Him. Now, when I taught the lesson last week, I thought, well, this will just be a one-time deal. You know, I won't do any more things like that. But as the week started out, I was reading in Proverbs, and the Lord laid on my heart. So I'm going to do another lesson tonight. And the title tonight is, "Are We Smarter Than a Grasshopper?" Are we smarter than a grasshopper? So look in your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 30. We're going to read five verses, beginning in verse 24 and then down through verse 28. Here's what the Bible says. Proverbs 30, verse 24. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. Now notice that. These things are little tiny creatures, but God says they are exceeding wise. That would be wonderful for him to say that about us. Hey, there's a Christian, there's a servant, there's a disciple of mine that's exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. And of course, tonight, we're going to look at verse 27. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. And I'm going to ask each one of us, including myself, the question, like I did last week, are we smarter than a locust, or are we smarter than a grasshopper? As I came in tonight, I saw about 20 of them out on the sidewalk, and I said, oh, God has given me an illustration for the message. And I thought about rounding them all up, but then I thought, oh, boy, if I don't get them out of here, it's going to, you know, there'll be a price to pay if they're hopping around on Sunday. So here's the locusts have no king, yet they go forth by bands. They have no leader. They have no one to recruit them to join the band. They have no one to organize the band, yet they are wise enough, they are smart enough to realize that they're better off in a band than being alone. So they join together as a group or as a band, and they go forth that way. So I have three things I want to say tonight. Again, as we ask ourselves the questions, are we smarter than a grasshopper? Number one, thank God for the leaders that he has put in our life. This verse says the locusts have no king. They have no leader. But we most of our life, or much of our life, God has put people in our lives to serve as leaders, as advisors. Our parents are leaders for much of our life. Our grandparents are leaders for much of our life. Aunts and uncles, our Sunday school teachers, our pastors, our friends. And God has put people like that in our life as a resource to us, as a help to us. And I'm sure all of you can think about somebody that God has put in your life or in the past or now that helps you learn the lessons of life, or helps you cope with life, or help you deal with life. You see, you've heard me say before, and God doesn't want us to learn everything we learn the hard way. There are some things that he probably does, because he knows we're so stubborn that the only way we'll really grab a hold of it and learn it is to experience it ourselves. But there's so many things that I think he says about us. I don't want you to have to learn that the hard way. I want you to learn it from somebody else. I want you to learn from their experience. And so I put these people in your life, again, as a help, so that you don't have to make the same mistakes that they did. You don't have to bear the burdens that they did. You don't have to pay the price that they paid in learning that lesson. You can learn it without any of that. And I know some people say, well, nobody has the problems exactly like me. And I would just remind you what Solomon said when he says, there's nothing new under the sun. We think our problems are unique. We think we're the only ones that have them. And yet, I dare say, even in your sphere of friends and parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters, Sunday school teachers and pastors, there's probably somebody in that circle that's experienced the same kind of problem you are and have learned from it and can share wisdom and can share experience so that you don't have to pay the same price that they paid to learn the lesson. And now, pride often gets in the way. You know, we most of us are proud people. And we would say, well, you know, I can handle this myself. I don't need any help. If I ask for help, somebody might interpret it as a sign of weakness. You know, like, you know, that, like, I you know, I'm not capable of handling this. And you know, I can figure it out on my own. And so we make the same mistakes, and we learn the same hard lessons, and we pay the same price that person in our life has already paid that could help us avoid all that. And yet we're too proud to share. We're too proud to ask. And as a result, because God knows we need to learn the lesson, we have to learn it ourselves. We have to pay the price. We have to, you know, go through the same thing that we could have avoided if we wouldn't have let pride get in the way and learn from that person. Now, let me just talk to DJ and Kaylina and Jenna for a minute. You know, sometimes teenagers get the idea that their parents don't know anything, or they know very little. And they think, well, what would my parents know about today? They were teenagers hundreds of years ago. Yeah, right. They were teenagers hundreds of years ago. They don't know what I'm going through. They don't know how I think. They don't know the pressures that are on me. Again, things today are completely different than when they were teenagers. You know, they're not tempted the same way I am. And I would just say to the three of you, by the way, as I would say to maybe the middle-aged adults here as they think about the older adults in their life, that your mom and dad your mom and dad have gone through what you're going through. Yeah, it may be a little bit different, and you know, but the same basic problem they probably faced, and they could probably help you if you gave them a chance, if you opened up a little bit and talked to them about it, and if you listened. You know, sometimes when, and I'll, you know, I remember when I was a teenager, I can remember my dad setting me down on a couple occasions, and, you know, I probably thought like you did sometimes, my dad don't know nothing. I mean, he was a teenager 1,000 years ago. What does he know about being a teenager now? And I'd sit there and respect him and listen, but I didn't really hear. And I'll just tell you, I learned as I got older that my dad was a pretty smart guy. And my dad could have saved me a lot of hurt if I would have just listened to him and learned the lessons that he learned the hard way, the easy way, by learning from his experience. And so the same thing is true wherever you are in age and in experience. There's probably somebody in your life that may be a little bit older that has gone through what you're going through right now. And God has put them in your life for you to use as a resource, as a counselor. And yet, again, we let pride get in the way. And I'll just remind you, the Bible says, pride goeth before a fall. And sometimes we fall because we have to learn the lesson, and we were too proud to ask for help. The Bible also says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And again, it's not a sign of weakness to ask for help. It's not a sign of weakness to ask for advice. And again, God has put people with that experience and with that wisdom in our lives for us. I mean, they're there for us. I mean, God has placed them there for us, and we need to use them. So thank God for leaders. And much of the time in our life, we're not like grasshoppers, because we have a king, a leader, so to speak, that can help us. Number two, there will be times that we don't have leaders. Now, and again, let me just stop for a minute and say, we always have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit never leaves. The Holy Spirit will teach us and will guide us. But much of the time, the Holy Spirit works through people. And there will be times in our life where we will be like the locusts, where we have no king. Mom and dad's not there. Our grandpa and grandma's not there. Our Sunday school teacher's not there. Our pastor's not there. And we feel like we're out there all by ourselves. And again, the Holy Spirit's always there, but we don't have a king. And I can just liken it to maybe if you remember back if you left home for your first job and had to live someplace else, or when you went to college and, you know, went into a new environment. And when you come to times like that, you got two choices. Number one, you can decide, well, I can make it on my own. I'll just stay by myself, and I won't hook up with anybody else, and I'll just get through this time. Or you can seek out other locuses. In my analogy, you can find other people like you who know Jesus Christ as their Savior, who believe the Bible is the Word of God, who desire to please and serve Him, and you can join a band of other folks like you and go forth as a band as opposed to going one at a time. And I'll just hasten to say that a good place to find people like that is in a church. Is in a church. That's why God puts us together as a church family. And God says, if you will do that, if you will join in a band, you'll be wise. As smart or smarter than a grasshopper. Now, there's four advantages to doing that, and I want to illustrate it tonight, again, because I found if I illustrate it, you remember it. And so, Jen, I want you and Kaylina to come and stand right over there for me, okay? Just stand right over there, and DJ, you come right here. And then, let's see, Leonard and Terry and Mark and Leonard, Dennis and Brian, you come and stand over here, okay? We'll get everybody involved tonight, all right? Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to make these four points. There's four advantages to going forth as a band, all right? Brother Harold, I'm not overlooking you. I just know that you're old and you just need to sit down. All right? All right, so here four advantages to banding together. And what I'm going to try to do, at least for the first three, is use locusts as they went into Egypt as one of the plagues and illustrate the advantages of going forth in a band as opposed to going forth by yourself. Number one, a band has greater influence. Okay, now here, Jenna and Kaylina are going to represent the people of Egypt. Okay? Pharaoh and all the people of Egypt. All these guys are going to be locusts. Okay? So stand over here side by side. Okay? No, just facing this way. All right? So here's all the locusts. Now, which do you think would have more influence on the people of Egypt and Pharaoh? DJ, as a single grasshopper, can you make like a grasshopper? Just sort of put your hands up like this. You know, they have like this. All right? So here comes one lone grasshopper into Egypt. Hop. No, put your things up here. Hop. Now, let me ask you two girls as representing all of Egypt. Are you afraid of this one grasshopper? Huh? No. You saw the one grasshopper in Egypt. Well, that takes care of that. But let's go back. Okay, now all you guys got to make like grasshoppers. Come over here. Now, tell us. All right, here we go. You ready? Let's go. Let's get them. Let's get them. Now, which one are you going to be more afraid of? Oh, that's the right answer. That's good. All right, so you guys go back over there. See? Here's what the girl says. One little grasshopper, no problem. I mean, we'll just sort of stomp him out and we'll be done. But if this whole herd, did they call herds, grasshoppers, herds? Thundering herd. If this whole thundering herd of grasshoppers came after these girls, I mean, they're going to scare them. You'd be scared, wouldn't you, Betty? Yeah, just look at them. I mean, you'd be scared. And so in a band, we have more influence, and the herd or the band of locusts that came into Egypt had more influence over the Egyptians than if one little locust like DJ came by himself. Now, same thing is true today. Let me just give you a couple examples. What if when we had our parade, took part in the parade and advertised Vacation Bible School, what if we just had one guy in the truck and one guy in the back handing out candy? How much influence would we have had? Some, but not a lot. We had about 30 people there handing out candy, right, Terry? We had about 30 people handing out candy, and we handed out a lot of candy. And so as a band, we had more influence than if there had only been one or two. Same thing. How much influence do you think we'd have on people if they came on Sunday morning and if it was just one and two or three of us in the auditorium? People would say, well, I'm not going back there. Sooner or later, the preacher's going to preach right at me because there's only four or five of them. When there's 130, you can get lost in the crowd. Huh? You won't get around to me. And so our influence increases as we band together into a band as opposed to doing it one at a time. So our influence increases. Number two, the members of the band complement one another. Okay? So you remember the locusts came into Egypt after the hailstorm and they ate up the vegetables and all that other stuff that was left from the hailstorm. So here come, again, just illustrate this. Now, these two girls are going to be sprouts. Okay, you're sprouts. You know what a sprout is? Shake your head if you know. Like a flower, like a piece of corn that's coming up, or a green bean that's coming up, or a tomato. Okay? You're going to be that. Okay, so here comes the one grasshopper. Make like a grasshopper again. All right? Now, this grasshopper only likes green beans. He don't like tomatoes. He don't like cantaloupe. He don't like anything else. Kayleen is green beans. He's gonna come and eat up all the green beans. But he's gonna get full of green beans and ain't gonna bother anything else. That's all he can accomplish by himself. Now, come back over here. So Dennis likes green beans, Brian likes tomatoes, Leonard likes cantaloupe, Dennis likes squash, Mark likes pumpkins, and Leonard likes corn, and Terry likes spinach. All right, spinach. Okay, so let's make like, and I like it all, okay? So let's make like grasshoppers again, okay, guys? Okay, so here we go. Now, not only are we going to eat up the green beans, but we're going to eat up the tomatoes and the squash and everything else that's there. All right? Yeah, there's fear in their eyes. I can see it. Okay, go back over there. Grasshoppers, back over there. Now, as a band, we complement one another. Just like DJ only liked green beans. I mean, the tomatoes and the squash and the pumpkins didn't have to worry because nobody liked them. But when you get a whole band, they like everything. And you remember the locusts that went into Egypt, they destroyed the land. They ate up everything. Now, in the same way, in a band, we complement each other. You see, Brian can do things that Leonard can't. And Leonard can do things that Dennis can't. And Dennis can do things that Mark can't. Mark can do things that Leonard can't. And Leonard can do things that Terry can't. And Terry can do things that I can't. And so, as a band, we can accomplish more because we complement one another. I mean, I told you about my experience trying to fix a faucet. I thought, well, I'll just take this thing off, replace the gaskets, and it'll quit leaking. Well, I didn't know you're supposed to turn off the water before you did all that. Now, if I would have had somebody like Terry there with me, he would have said, hey, preacher, you better turn off the water before, you know, you loosen it up because it's going to spray all over you. And that's what I'm talking about. We complement one another. There are things that you know how to do that nobody else knows how to do, and there are things that you don't know how to do that somebody else in our band knows how to do. So we complement one another and accomplish more for God in a band than we do by ourselves. All right, number three, the members of the band encourage one another. So again, going back to Egypt, here's DJ, one lone grasshopper. All right, so he's on his way to Egypt. Make like a grasshopper. He's on his way to Egypt. You can see these girls don't give a rip. I mean, they're not scared at all. And he gets over here, and he eats some of the green beans, and he gets full, and he gets tired. He says, I know God sent me to destroy the land, but I'm so full, and I'm so tired, I can't do anymore. I can't eat anymore. I know he wanted me to destroy everything, but I just can't. And he gets discouraged easily. All right, so come back over here. Now we got the band. We got the whole group. I mean, and I can't remember what you all like, but we're going to go over here and we're going to destroy Egypt. All right? So let's do it one more time, guys. We're going to go over here. We're making like a grasshopper. And let's say Brother Dennis gets a little tired and he falls back in the pack. The ones that are behind him say, oh, Dennis, come on now, bud. No, don't get behind. We're going to eat them all. We're going to get rid of everything that's a lie. And Brother Leonard gets a little down because he got a rotten tomato. Oh, spit it out, Brother Leonard. Go ahead and get another one. Get another one. And we encourage each other to do what God wants us to do. Okay, you guys made fine grasshoppers. Thank you very much. And you girls made good Egyptians. Thank you very much. Now, see, you never know what's going to happen on a Wednesday night around here. The book of Proverbs says, two or three is better than one. Because if you're by yourself and you fall, you might have a hard time getting up. But if you have two or three, the other two can maybe prevent you from falling in the first place. And if you fall, they can help you get up. And that's part of the reason we join together as a band, so that we can be an encouragement to each other. You know, all of us run into times where we get discouraged, where the problems that we have and the burdens that we have is sort of overwhelm us. And, you know, we get under it. And God has put us in a band to encourage one another with our experiences and what we've learned. Say, yeah, you know, I went through that same thing about 2 years ago. I know exactly how you feel. God will get you through it. Here's what I did. And that happens. It happens. And it should happen, because that's one of the reasons that God has put us together. And then number four, as I quickly finish, as a member of the band, our sphere of ministry is expanded. And I couldn't figure out how to illustrate this with Egypt, so that's why I had everybody sit down. But God touches people in different ways. And God identifies for different people to minister to. Okay? So Helen may have a heart for this group of people, but Peggy doesn't. But Peggy has a heart for this group of people that Helen doesn't. And as individuals, they would minister to those separate groups. But as a band, Helen would take Peggy with her and they would minister to that group. And Peggy would take Helen with her and they would minister to that group. And so our ministry is expanded because we're in a band. We're not all, God doesn't speak to all of us the same way. He doesn't touch us, our hearts, the same way. And so as we band together and share the burdens of our heart and share the groups of people that God has touched us with, the ministry that we have is expanded because we're a member of that band. We're a member of that band. So I'll end the same way I started. Are we smarter than a grasshopper? And we are, if we realize we're better off being a member of a band than if we try to go it alone. And again, I'm so glad that God has put in our life people that much of our life we have leaders. We have people that are there that God has put to influence our lives and to help us. And again, please, please, please don't ignore that resource. Don't ignore that help, because God's put it there for you. And he wants you to use it. It'd be like that story I think I've told you before about the young man that left home. His mother, he grew up in a poor home, and his mother stayed home and lived in a one-room shack without electricity. And he went to the city and got a big job and made lots of money. And every week he sent a cashier's check back to his mom. In a couple years he went home. He thought his mom would have upgraded the house, you know, got electricity, indoor plumbing, and all that. And he went back to the same shack. She's living in the same condition. And he went in and kissed her and said, Mom, I sent you all those cashier's check. Why didn't you use some of them to fix up the house? She said, well, I didn't know they were a check. And he went in and she had them all pasted on the wall. Hadn't cashed one of them. And sometimes that's what we do when God sends us a blessing. I mean, we just don't realize what we got. And we pin it on the wall and we don't use it. And he didn't want us to do that. I mean, he sends people into our lives as a help. And let's not let our pride stand in the way. Let's use them as God intended. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer.